In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words are being read in the churches this weekend as the epistle from Ephesians 1. The God and Father Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world. This is our text today. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, if nothing else, to soak in some Illinois 94 degree weather. Minnesota just stays cold, even in the summer this year. But what we get to do this weekend here is to share with you in a special event. It's a good time to do these kind of things, because as God's people journey through the church year each year, we come to the Sundays of the summer. The green is the color of the vestments and pyramids, reminding us that growth and growing is to be happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity for us to grow in grace as the life and power of Jesus Christ is carried out among us and in us as we hear his word and taste of him in the Holy Supper. These words speak of God's work in his church. So it's good to pause and remember the great mercy of our God that comes to us in so many different ways. And especially it's a good thing for us as God's people to pause and to recall a milestone of ministry that affects this parish. You have in your midst a pastor who has served now 20 years in the Lutheran ministry. That has great worth and value, whether it is the pastor contemplating that or God's people thinking on those things. But the world in which we live does not think that any of this is important. The world has no time for Christian ministry and does not think that any time should be spent in Christian ministry. The preaching of the gospel is a waste of time for the world. The world has long decided to close its ears to the proclamation that Christ is risen and lives forevermore, and that Christ is coming and his church is waiting. The world closes its ears to the preaching of the gospel and ridicules the people of God for administering the sacraments by Christ's command in our midst. The world says if something is important, and they automatically exclude the things of the kingdom. They say, if there is something of import, well then, the person who is being noted or honored should be praised, or better yet, evaluated and compared to see just how great or good those works are. The world really likes only to criticize and idolize. That's the way it handles the whole business of celebrity. That's the way it handles everything in life. Be critical or idolize it. But neither of those actions are how the church notes matters of importance. Our direction for understanding and comprehending what is happening among us comes from St. Paul writing to the Ephesians. In the epistle for today, the Word of God is set into its proper perspective, the Christian's view of life and ministry and celebration. Whether it's 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, whatever is being celebrated. For God's people, when we think of the things that are happening in our midst regarding the ministry of the preaching of the word, the first thing we learn is this is not of our doing. Paul says every spiritual blessing comes from the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not here to celebrate our deeds or our accomplishments. We're not even here to celebrate our pastor's deeds or his accomplishments. Because we understand that in the context of living as God's people, these things are not ours. The things that we might claim and call to be ours would end up as failures. Instead, we are called to see our place in the kingdom of God. In the Lord's Prayer, we are taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come." The Catechism says the kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself. But we pray that it would come among us also. And then Paul says to us from the letter to the Ephesians, remember this, God chose us. That's the starting point for understanding what is going on and who we are. There's nothing special about us, except that God loved us and Christ died for us. And that makes us especially special. But not because there's value or accomplishment on our part, but because we see the size of God's love for us. Christ loved us. He died for us. And we now belong to him. And this was all planned before the creation of the world. Way back before there was a world, or you, or me, or anything else, the Bible says God knew us, he loved us, and he knew what he was going to do for us, and in us, and through us. This life for God's people is not just a mindless journey or an unplanned happening. He chose us, St. Paul says, for salvation. A salvation that was delivered in the waters of baptism. A salvation that is created by the Word of God. A salvation that comes to us as bread and wine from the altar. And the very same Lord who worked our salvation and who is our salvation has chosen us for vocation. Not just salvation, but vocation. We were called to faith, yes. But we are also now called to serve, yes. And our salvation is lived out in the place in life where God has put us. What us commemorating today is both salvation and we are commemorating vocation. We are sons and daughters and spouses. Some of us are called to be pastors in Christ's church, missionaries. Others serve as doctors, farmers, bankers, and workers, and managers, and soldiers, and nurses, and police, you name it. It's the way that God gives us things
for God's.
But what we are doing today is noting that special vocation that is in the midst of the church that the world has no use for, because that special vocation, cation, day commemoration, vocation, and has no use. And that is the call of the holy ministry and the call into the holy ministry. Now, the particular case that's before you today, now the know a little bit about
and
and the more I look at it and think about it and ponder it, I realize it is far more mystery than knowledge. Your pastor came from my home, from my wife and myself, our marriage, our family. From our home, he was called to prepare for the ministry. I was his pastor. I baptized him. He worshiped with us all the years he lived in our home. Worshiped as a family, worshiped in the congregations. I instructed him in the catechism, and I confirmed him. His mother and I delivered him to Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska to begin his pre-sem studies. I was privileged to be authorized by the district president of the North Wisconsin District of our synod to ordain him into the ministry of the Lutheran Church. I also preached at his installation services. And yet I did not have a thing to do with the work of making him a pastor. It doesn't work that way. This comes from the power of the Word of God. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is a gift that flows through the church at the direction of the Spirit. The church is involved. It calls, it encourages, it trains. It picks and certifies and it ordains and it sends. And yet it is Jesus Christ and his holy word, the Holy Spirit and his love and power in the church that makes all of this happen. Nothing else will do it. In Christ, Paul says, we have redemption through his blood. And we have received the forgiveness of sins. We are wrapped in the forgiveness of sins that comes from Christ. Oh, it will be spoken with the mouth of a man, a pastor, one who's been trained in the scriptures and encouraged to preach and to teach and authorized to do so in the church. The sacrament will come from his hand, but he is not the one that makes it happen. It is Christ. The pastor does not do the work, and yet he must work in the kingdom. He must preach and speak the truth. He is to preach the word in season and out of season. Because that word alone is what builds up the church. Jesus says, if we as pastors will not preach, if we are president, if pastors will not preach, it is not Jesus that makes it happen. The power of preach, power of sacraments, building the church. Every time and every age, gentle care of souls being done in the midst of a congregation by faithful pastors is being done by Christ through his pastors. And the church that is built by that word will not fail. Because we have been told to pray, thy kingdom come. Unless we think we are the ones that make it come, The catechism says, nope, remember this. The kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself by the Holy Spirit. And we pray in this petition that it would come among us also. And in the life and the work of your pastor and every faithful pastor, we see that happening. That's been God's plan since before the creation. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.